talked with the district office here in Safford, and nothing really has changed. So I don't know what the answer is, but it is just not very responsive. And I know it's an age-old problem. Terry Hinton has been fighting them for many, many years, but it seems especially bad recently. So there's my vent. You go around the room, anybody else that would like to let us know what's going on or any issues you're having.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is Steve Bakken. Just want to make sure everybody knew that we're going to cut the ribbon and hold an open house on the rebuilt City Hall. That event will take place on May 24th. That's a Saturday. We're going to cut the ribbon at noon and hold an open house until the last person leaves. So the building is substantially complete at this point. We should be getting a temporary occupancy permit anytime. Unfortunately, we've been kind of held up by the furniture vendor. Didn't seem to realize that we wanted that furniture delivered by now. So it kind of held us up, especially because the mayor's going to be out of town for about a week, right in the middle of May. So we're going to do it on May 24th. We're going to, you know, put it out there on social media, consider this the city's invitation to all of you. If you could join us over there around noon on the 24th, we are real excited to finally move in after 7 years. I know Heather's really excited that we cleaned up the neighborhood. And we're looking forward to showing it off to all of you. And just really excited to be there after 7 years.
Congratulations.
Great news.
That's all I have, sir.
Okay. Anybody else just chime in?
Greg Volker from Benson. Wanted to thank CIGO and the Area Agency on Aging for some extended financial support for our transit department. It has been very useful, especially on the installation of cameras in our transit buses. Those cameras have been very extensive, especially with some of our transient population that comes on the buses. And then our State Parks grant that CIGO's been helped us with to get this rolling, projected to have that completed in July, and then we'll keep trying to run to improve our local parks here. But I do appreciate, like I said, CIGO's assistance and awarding us some funding that was much needed for our community. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Luis Pedrosa from Douglas. Some updates. We have it seems like this fall is a lot going on for us. We have major projects breaking ground. Most importantly, in our port of entry, the construction of the commercial port of entry will break ground in August of this year. We're also looking at the downtown revitalization project, which includes three blocks of new streetscape, also expected to break ground in the fall. We have our utility expansion to the west to connect our port of entry that will also break ground in this fall. We're just about to ready to put those out to bid. And we have Chino Road, also the extension that's long awaited, and basically we're doing that new extension into the SR 80-191 intersection also in the fall, and the drilling of a new well here in Douglas, well number 18, should be done this summer, and hopefully construction throughout the year, and have that well ready for next summer. So just want to update you on those items. Also want to thank SIGO on also some additional funding for our transit the division that we also received. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to give an update?
Robert Gershman, City of Wilcox. I'll piggyback on that and also extend my thanks to SIGO for the additional money for our transit program. It definitely helps and very much appreciated. Our swimming pool and splash pad, we'll be having our grand opening on Saturday the 24th. We'll be having food trucks and other vendors there, so feel free to come on out. It's going to be a great time, great project for the community. We're also going to be hosting representatives from the state for helping us get some funding for that, as well as other projects around the community, including our bird lines out the lakes, and some other funding for projects such as irrigation. We are currently working on upgrading irrigation at our parks and the cemetery. Very excited. We got Taco Bell desperately trying to come in here and navigate the plan check process. So we're excited for that. We're working with ADOT on trying to keep the truck parking from going outside the city to inside the city on some city-owned property. This way we can keep those folks spending their money hopefully here in town instead of on the outskirts. We had a very successful Earth Day cleanup. We had, I believe, 11 roll-off dumpsters that were filled up, we were very happy with Southwest Disposal Waste Connections. They donated $2,000 to the high school seniors so that they would be able to do their senior trip in lieu of them showing up to help with cleanup. And we had over 50 seniors there. It was great. I share your ADOT frustration, though it's not 2 years. We've been working with them as well as the railroad trying to keep our quiet zone, and it's just been a nightmare. They won't let us grind. They won't let us do this. It's taking some time going back and forth. So, and it just seems like every time it's something different. Then we are out bid both for our solid waste services and a bus barn over at our transit station. So, very busy here. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Hi, yeah, this is Dustin over in Graham County. Just concerning SIGO, we're working on our CDBG approval process. We'll be taking that to the board on May 19th. It'll be for ADA sidewalks out at our fairgrounds park. It coincides with the master plan park that we're working on. We hired a consultant, Bowman Engineering, to help us master plan our 150-acre park out there. So the timing with CBG and the sidewalks and the plan should work out great. And we appreciate the support that we've been getting from your team. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dustin.
Mr. Chairman, this is Derek in Greenlee County. We are likewise working on park renovation to our Fairgrounds Park. We've got a couple other parks we're updating with remaining COVID-related funds we committed. In terms of critical issues that are perhaps common to us all, we're also trying to work on a budget year amidst the uncertainty of an economy and so forth. Obviously, our interface with groups like SIGO and others are affected by the uncertainty of an upcoming budget year. Obviously, the sustainability of our fund balance is on our own agenda today. And so, in terms of critical issues going forward, we're trying to hopefully get these projects we're working on through and past the finish line before we have to really adjust and work on the fly to make sure our budget stays whole. I don't know if others are experiencing that same type of uncertainty or budget uncertainty, but I know we're trying to plan for it in our budget process. been a difficult budget year, not because we don't have current good revenues at the moment, but rather the uncertainty going forward. Maybe that's something that's common to the group, I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you. Definitely some uncertainty on what to expect. Anyone else? Last chance. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to item 3, open call to the public. Is there anyone that would like to bring something before the council that is not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move to item 4, action items. Number 1 is the consent agenda and the approval of the February 6th, 25 meeting minutes. Is there anything that would like to be pulled for discussion from the consent agenda? If not, entertain a motion to offer approval.
This is Steve, so moved.
Second is Derek in Green County.
Got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All in favor, say aye.
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 And any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Item number 2, election of officers for the Administrative Council. Turn it over to Mr. Bertries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is something we do each and every May. It's required by our bylaws. We have to have one representative from each of our 4 counties, and they will hold the positions of our administrative committee, which is chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. Primary responsibility is to chair these meetings. We are going to be looking at maybe some shifts in the bylaws at the next meeting in terms of the role of the administrative committee. We'll be bringing that to you at the next meeting, but as of right now, the focus is really on chairing this meeting. The chair position has to rotate, according to our bylaws, between counties. Last year, we had Heath Brown as the chair, Dan Coxworth as the vice chair, Derek as the secretary, and Jesus Valdez as the treasurer. I have spoken to 3 of our current officers. They have agreed to stay on board. We don't have to reelect them. It can be a combination of old officers, new officers. It can be a completely new slate of officers, or we can keep the slate we have. Like I said, we've got 3 that are willing to stay on our administrative committee, and that's listed in the rotation at the very bottom of your page. Dan, we have one issue. Dan Coxworth has left Cochise County. I have reached out personally to a few of the people on our administrative committee and also sent a group email out to everybody eligible for Cochise County. So we are going to need an officer from Cochise County. We'll be looking for a volunteer or a nomination, and I'll turn it back to you, Heath, to see if we have anybody wanting to volunteer for the position.
Okay. I guess we're waiting for someone to give us a motion or a suggestion on reestablishing the officers.
Okay, Heath, looking at the rotation, it looks like next year's chair is going to be the one representing Cochise County. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Chris, is that correct?
That is correct.
And talk about jumping from the frying pan.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to comment, Mr. Chairman, that I've already been through that rotation. I know it was a good number of years ago. I would personally prefer to see a younger person to take this on, and I don't want to make this about age, but I've got a lot of it. I had spoken briefly with the executive director last week about it and about my prior service on board. And while I would like to see somebody else from Cochise County do it, if there's no one else eligible, I would volunteer. But I'm looking for my friends in Cochise County to step up.
Thank you, Steve. I did not want to put you on the spot today, but thank you. Doesn't sound like we have any volunteers, Heath. Is Steve, are you okay with doing a year?
Yes, being chair is just a one-year gig, so I guess that's okay.
Thank you, Steve. So if I could...
Since the vote's over, I can let Steve finish this meeting?
I'm going to defer to you for the rest of the meeting.
We'll seek this position in August, if it's okay with you, Heath.
Okay, well, that's kind of got one of the four established, correct? We'd love to hear a motion outlining all four positions so we could vote on that.
If I could just recap real quick, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
The rotation would be, if we keep our current slate of officers and Steve stepping into the county position, the chair of the committee will be Steve Pockin. And according to our rotation, the vice chair will be Derek Rapier from Greenlee County. Jesus Valdez will be the secretary from Santa Cruz County, and Heath, you will move down the rotation to treasurer. So that would be our slate of officers.
Okay. Will somebody turn that into a motion or a different suggestion?
This is Dustin with Graham. I'll make that a motion.
Thank you.
I second that.
Who was the second? Luis
Pedroso with the...
Thank
Perfect.
You.
We have a motion and a second on board recapped by Mr. Vertrees. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Got that unfun thing out of the way. Move down to item three, fiscal year 26 budget items. And number A is sustainability of fund balance. Mr. Vertrees.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's on page 6 of your packet. The purpose of this is we present this each year before we actually present our budget to you. It recaps our fund balance use for the last 15 years. It also gives you an idea of what would happen if we should utilize fund balance in multiple different scenarios. And it gives you an idea of where we stand in terms of agency flexibility. So as you look at the table right underneath the opening, you'll see that we've had a surplus of $142,807. That combined with a surplus last year, we've been able to increase our fund balance by almost $300,000. So that is very good news, especially for an agency that is about 90% dependent upon reimbursement grants. So that is good news. We set our fund balance usage rate at 50% of our operating. Our operating last year was $2,168,562. That means that we have to maintain a balance of $1,084,281. When you take our fund balance, subtract that from the fund balance, 50% of our operating expenditures, We have approximately 1,332,000 that we can use if it becomes necessary. And then on page 7, you'll see the table how long it would take if we used our fund balance at a minimal rate over the course of multiple years. So even at the use of 50,000 a year, we'd have 27 years worth of sustainability, making sure that we keep our operating level at 1,084,000. So I would be happy to answer any questions you may have on the sustainability of our fund balance.
Mr. Chairman, this is Derek. May I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, sir.
I guess, out of my own ignorance, what are the source of funds for our fund balance? I know that CEGO operates primarily on grants, but where did this fund balance come from, and are those sources still sustainable?
One of the primary is our CDBG program. That is the administrative fees that we collect for administering that program for other agencies is not dependent upon grant funding, so that's where a lot of it comes. We have a couple programs in AAA that generate revenue also, not much, but yeah, for the last several years, it's been our CDBG program that's helped generate that. If you go back to 2010, where much of this fund balance was built was through our housing program, and it was an income driven for CEGO project, but that was terminated in I think 2011, where we had to repay back some of that balance, but it still left us with a pretty solid balance of almost 1.3 million. And then the next big chunk that took is when we built and upgraded the CEGO office building. But majority of that comes from our CDBG program.
Then the follow-up question, I mean, obviously what you laid out in the supportive materials suggests that it's a very sustainable plan for many, many, many years. Is this fund balance resilient to changes in federal funding that we've seen in the last few months?
Yeah, we do have an austerity plan that if we have to implement it, we'll have to go back to you and the executive board. But part of that austerity plan is to use fund balance to keep our programs going, especially during times when we have budget problems at the federal level and they can't get a continuing resolution through. That is designed to carry us through. So it's there for us, but what we're doing is we are presenting you a very streamlined budget this year that is looking at our definite sources of income that we feel comfortable with. We got some programs out there that we are having issues with at the federal level reimbursing us, but we think those have been resolved, but we're not gonna pursue those sensitive areas like DEI, which would bring questions and question the stability of that grant. So we're trying to back off that. We're trying to stay within the grant funds that we know or we feel that are very safe and secure. And so that's the type of budget we're gonna be presenting you this year.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that additional detail.
I have a follow-up on that. This is Matt McLaughlin. So the CDBG administration dollars that are saved, are those unrestricted after a period of time, or how does that work?
No, we...
Usually there's a period of performance tied to the CDBG, so if you don't expend a full allotment for administration, you just put that in like an unrestricted fund balance, or how does that
it goes work? Into our general fund at the end of each year if it is a surplus.
Okay.
So it's available to us to use or to incorporate into our fund balance and use as needed in the future. Does that answer your question, Matt?
Do you have an agreement with ADOH on the admin budget? And then you've historically underspent that budget?
We have an understanding with ADOH in terms of our work program. Those fees are generated independently of the funding that we're getting. We pass that ADOHA funding straight through to our CDBG program. The only one that, correct me if I'm wrong, is when we do these Colonius grants. Those are recycling the dollars that come from.
Right.
Come from the fund.
We use the what's called the 1% technical assistance fund that we supplement the state's services in providing consultation to communities that are going to be pursuing or are in the process of pursuing CDBG grants, including Colonius or state special projects. And so we bill to the 1% with ADOH to get reimbursement on those expenditures.
Okay. All right, it's a little clearer. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Keith. Or Heath.
You got it. thanks for the report on fund balance. Item B, approval of the fiscal year 25 assessment of schedule. Also, Chris.
Yeah, good news here is we're not increasing assessments this year at all. EDA plan assessment is still going to stay consistent. We use that. That assessment matches our EDA grant. We're not anticipating any increases there. I've spoken to Kevin Adam at RTAC. They were having a budget meeting on April 28th, but there was no recommendation to increase assessments. That's going to stay at 11.3 cents per capita. If you look at page 9 at your table, that's your fee schedule or assessment schedule for the year, your percentage of the assessment in column F in comparison to what 25 was, which is the same assessment. And then as you go back to 2010, you're going to actually see we've been able to reduce assessments over that period of time. So again, no changes in assessments this year. Any questions?
Okay, more great news. Thank you for that. Item C, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the proposed fiscal year 25 CEGO budget. And Ms. Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 10 and 11 of your packet, the CEGO fiscal year 2026 budget is attached for your review and consideration. The assumption used in developing the fiscal year 2026 budget are as follows. CEGO member assessments remain unchanged from fiscal year 2025, as Chris just went over. Congress will continue to funding current programs at or above current levels. A $150,000 contingency line item from the fund balance has been included in this year's budget, as it is in every year's budget, for unanticipated expenses or events that may come up in fiscal year 26. The proposed budget worksheet provides a detailed overview of each program's budget. Program managers have participated in the development of their program budgets, and successful budget implementation will depend on diligent monitoring and revenue expenditures by each program manager. I will be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding the proposed budget, and a motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 2026 budget to the Executive Board.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
This is Chris. Had an error in the assessments. We need to have an approval of the assessment schedule before we approve the budget. So if we could go back and approve the assessment schedule, which again, no changes to last year. If we can get that approved before we approve the budget.
Mr. Chairman, this is Derek Rupier. I'd make a motion to approve the assessment as outlined in the accompanying materials to our agenda.
I'll second that motion. Dustin and Graham.
Thank you, guys. Sorry for not skipping over that. We've got a motion and a second to recommend to approve the fiscal year 25 assessment schedule. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Thank you. Item B approved. We'll move back into item C. Is there any discussion we'd like to have on the proposed budget? Just one question, Chris. I just, because I haven't looked at this much yet, how does this compare to last year's budget, bottom line? And she may have addressed that, and I just missed it. Or Dina, either one of you could address that.
Well, last year we had some additional funding from ARPA funds and for AAA, but this year we're not going to, for fiscal year 26, we're not going to have those funds available, so our funding did kind of take a setback a little bit. They're funding us back from the prior COVID-19. And so right now there won't be any additional funds approved. So it's a little bit, it's as tight as it was last year, but we'll keep an eye on it as we always do. And hopefully we'll get through the year, but we should be okay. And it's just some of the, so all the expenses went up, so we just have to watch our what we're spending our money on and how much time we're spending on things, and we just got to keep up with the budget projection. And that's...
And if I may add, Mr. Chair, all of our other funding sources have pretty much been confirmed by at this point already, so we're comfortable with the budget. Like Dina said, we did see some reductions in AAA because some of that ARPA money's been spent out. But yeah, everything else is very consistent. We've already reflected the reduction in the AAA funding, and that's really the only reduction you're seeing from last year's budget. And then we've had a couple grants expire between last year and this budget cycle. But these programs, we are very comfortable that the funding is going to be consistent.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I have a question. What does the WIFA funding cover? Could you refresh my memory on that?
That is funding that we use to support water infrastructure in terms of Bacon-Davis wages. We do the monitoring for Bacon-Davis wages. We also do site visit monitoring. That's where our contract is focused on in terms of that funding. And that funding is flexible in terms of, this is the bottom line, we know that's what we have, but we get requests for additional projects throughout the year. So it is a kind of a flexible budget. We're only projecting what we know right now we have available in WIFA. But yeah, it's usually for labor monitoring and Davis-Bacon compliance.
Okay, it doesn't deal with the wastewater. Weren't you doing the Section 208?
Yeah, this is nothing. Yeah, nothing to do with that. This is...
okay.
This is using our skill set in labor monitoring from our CDBG program to find other sources of income for SIGA.
Okay.
Any other questions about the budget? If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
This is Steve. So moved, Mr. Chair.
Robert Gershman, second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the item? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes and the budget is approved. Moving on to item number four, classification plan update. Mr. Bertrees.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 12 of your packet, you'll see where my memorandum starts. In November of 23, we did a pretty extensive classification compensation plan update. It was kind of a baseline plan with existing positions.
I'm not hearing anything. Is anybody else?
I'm not hearing Chris.
I'm likewise not.
Can you hear me now?
No.
There you go.
You can hear me? Must have had a bug. Okay. I'll put it a little closer. We did a classification update in 2023. It was very baseline in terms of what we already had existing. 2 years out, we're finding that we need to do some realignment. One, we need it to better reflect the ability for mobility for SIGO staff. The second thing is we needed to make sure that our job titles fit with what we were actually doing. And then to make sure we reflect what our staff are actually doing. So we have recommended a few changes to our classification plan, and we're requesting your approval of those. One of the first things is information technology. We're requesting to add that is a standalone program for SIGO. One of the first things I told Keith when he took over SIGO was, if there was one thing was going to keep me up at night, it would be IT management. Yeah, because Randy ran our IT program for 15 years. He designed it. He grew with SIGO. He built it. He had all the institutional knowledge for it. When Keith stepped in, he tried to fill some of those gaps. We ended up having to get a consultant on board to fill some of those gaps. We ended up needing to use John Moore from his transportation part of the job to support the IT part. We've grown to 21 staff now. We are really in need of an IT manager. So we are recommending that we establish the position of IT manager. The second thing we would like to do is, as John transitions to IT manager, is our current training coordinator has some of the responsibilities already that fit nicely in with technical services coordinator. They already maintain our TAM system, which is our transit asset management system. They maintain our PASS, our regional training program database. So as John transitions out, somebody needs to pick up some of the other duties that we will see gaps in. One is our pavement management assessment project. The other one is our traffic counting program, and then population data and collection requirements. So those will move also into the IT management section, along with our GIS analyst position. So those are the changes we're recommending to really resolve IT and the agency. Just make it really clear. I am not capable of doing that work. The time invested in me learning that work would be cost prohibitive. We really need to grow this agency in terms of IT management. It's not going to cost us that much more. We're not going to fill the GIS position at this time because John still has the capacity to maintain those GIS requests. So that is not going to cost us more. The technical services coordinator, it will be moved from transportation under IT management, but those costs are already built into our work program. So we won't see increased costs for the technical services coordinator position. Then we've moved GIS there. The second area that we're asking for some changes is in the area agency on aging. We have terrible turnover in case management. We're talking 8 or 9 changes per year, and that might be conservative, if I'm being honest. And we were paying $17 an hour. What we were seeing is some of these fast food restaurants were paying $20 an hour. Other like case management positions around the region were paying well over $20 an hour, and our staff were being robbed. So one of the things we're requesting is adjust that pay grade from 102 to 105. This will push the starting salary to 2060 for a case manager. The next recommendation we got is our case manager supervisor. That position was previously called case manager coordinator, to provide some mobility for that person and to make sure we reduce the overall, we keep the span of control within the agency at a reasonable level. So by moving her to a supervisor position, we flatten our span of control out for our AAA program. And that will have an increase from 105 to 107, which is going to be about 50 cents an hour. Then the health and nutrition program coordinator, this is something we've had on the books for probably 7 years now. We cannot fill it. We occasionally hire somebody, they stay a few months and leave. And we've got a person that's been helped start this program, and it fills the gaps when we don't have anybody in that position. She trains the person that comes in for that position. So we're recommending eliminating that health and nutrition program coordinator position, combine it with our ombudsman program coordinator, and that is where we're gonna see the biggest increase in salary, because she's gonna take on those additional duties. We'll be shifting that position from 104 to 107. Next up is our office specialist 2. That position does so much more than just specialized duties. They have many other responsibilities within the AAA, and to provide, again, some upward mobility and fitting the actual job with the job description, with the job title, we're recommending that be changed to administrative assistant, and and with that, 102 to 103 shift would be 50 cents an hour. Then we have an office specialist 1 position. We split that between 2 people to do informational referral services. That reduces the workload on our case managers, and it gets people to the right service that they need. So we're recommending that we change that office specialist 1 to information and referral specialist. The pay will be 102. Those positions are currently filled. I think we're looking at a very small pay adjustment on that, and it will more align with what our staff do at SIGO. Now, the good news is the health and nutrition, eliminating the health and nutrition program coordinator position, we carry this in our budget. Operating budget, and by eliminate it, we eliminate about $41,000 in salary and about $14,000 in ERE costs. By eliminating that position and combining it, we're actually seeing a savings to our operating budget of $19,205. We are working on finalizing the job descriptions following your approval, and we're asking for a motion to recommend approval of these classification updates to the executive. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. I just want to point out on 14 and 15, 16 and 17, you got our new classification plan, and in the following section, you've got our new organization chart. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Chairman, this is Derek.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's obviously you guys have scrutinized the budget. I guess my one question is, are these proposed changes sustainable?
Yes, we are very comfortable that they're sustainable because we're not looking for any new funding sources. We're working within our existing budget, and that was the goal when we started looking at these classification changes, not to generate any increases that we did not think were sustainable.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I appreciate you looking at this, re-scrutinizing it. Things change all the time. It's good to put a fresh set of eyes on it and make necessary changes. Is there any further discussion on this? If not, I'm looking for a motion to approve it.
This is Dustin. I'll make a motion to approve, and just note, Chris, I think you put a tremendous amount of work in that reorganization, and I from what I heard, I think that sounds like a tremendous plan. It'll give you some good life and energy, and I know how much work that goes into looking at reclassifications and organizations and analyzing jobs. And anyway, great job, and that's my first.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This is Derek. I'll second the motion and second his comment, Dustin's comments as well. Good job, team. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. We've got a motion and a second to approve the classification plan update. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, thank you. Motion passes. And we'll now move into item four, the information items and future meeting dates. Chris.
Yes, on page 19 of your packet is our future meeting dates. We do have a combined administrative and executive committee meeting on May 29th. That will be canceled. We do not have any time sensitive business for that, so that will not occur. The rest of the schedule should be consistent for the rest of the year. I'd be glad to answer any questions on this meeting schedule.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Thank you. Quarterly finance report, Dina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The SIGO statement of revenues and expenditures for the quarter ending March 31st, 2025 is on page 21 of your packet. I will be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Okay, hearing no questions, we'll move on to item C, Community Development Report. Mr. Osborne.
Good morning and thank you, Mr. Chair. Community development this last quarter has been continuing to work with Grow America, our consultant selected for the Graham County Housing Feasibility Study. Community members have stepped forward to be part of the steering committee, and that committee as of yesterday has held four meetings. And in fact, yesterday was a day of community outreach meetings at which in the afternoon and the evening, folks were there to gather input. And also to provide information about the state of housing in Graham County and where the county folks would like to go next. The Better Cities Resilience Action Planning with Freeport McMoran, we've been continuing to participate both in Graham and Greenlee counties with their efforts, likely be picking up with Cochise County and Bisbee. Particular with their efforts, but as Freeport McMoran staff have been very kind to continue outreach to us at SIGO to provide opportunities for further networking with the Greenlee Chamber of Commerce. Back on February 12th, we were able to have a discussion about some of the ongoing and upcoming opportunities for folks to participate in our processes in community development, but also economic development. The Brownfield Assessment Grant and Rural Energy for America Program Grant, we've been coordinating. Kevin Fowler, the Economic Development Program Manager, and I on both of
both of those programs, along with Chris providing guidance. Chris has noted that there are some funding issues that we've had with some of with the Brownfield Assessment Grant. There's been some resolution, and we continue to work on those. The Rural Energy for America program, we're still in a bit of a holding pattern, but we expect to continue to work with both of those opportunities should the funding picture become clear. WIFA projects, the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority, we have been working with them and their environmental staff on a number of existing projects that were contracted. We probably likely will be looking at a review of the 2022 contract that we have with WIFA, particularly in regards to procurement. We have been receiving requests for providing assistance on procurement, but the amount of our services to provide for such procurement is greatly underestimated in the contract. And so we still look forward to providing assistance on labor standards and as much guidance as we can on procurement, but recognizing that there's some issues that need to be resolved with that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them on this item.
Any questions on the community development report? If not, why don't you just go right ahead into the CEBG update?
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, the CEBG funding continuity inquiries, we've received a number of those over the last several months. We continue to communicate with ADOH, and what we've heard from them is that it's situation normal as far as the funding goes. Past awards have not been frozen, and it's not expected that the current cycle, the 2025 regional account, which we've begun this year back in February, are expected to remain funded. And so we're happy to hear that. We do know that ADOH is going through some changes in leadership, and there also have been some of their programs have been put on freeze, but the Community Development Block Grant has not been one of those programs. For the regional account updates, last few weeks, we were encouraged to reach out to Duncan regarding their housing rehabilitation guidelines that we drafted for them, along with a resolution for homeowner relocation assistance. Both would be applicable for some of the home rehab activities. We'd expect the opportunity for Duncan to adopt both the housing rehab guidelines and the forms that we provided will enable them to get rolling with their owner-occupied housing rehab. We would be providing some technical assistance to them in the selection process for homeowner clients. In another project, we are collecting certifications of employee labor hours on the water system improvements, but also looking to close that project out. And we've also been with the City of Bisbee. They have an approved environmental review for their senior center improvements, and we're soon to see that they're going to go out to construction bids for that project. The comment period for the environmental review for the town of Thatcher, High School Avenue sidewalks and ADA improvements is pending conclusion. About May 13th is when the comment period will close, and we should soon be able to close out that environmental review with the documentation and approval by ADOH would then lead to a contract award for the town of Thatcher. The scope of ADOT improvements for Main Street and Pima have led Pima to consider possibly amending its CEBG project, which has been already awarded, but the improvements, again, have changed what the scope of improvements could be for Main Street, so they're possibly considering relocating their 2024, I believe that's the, I believe it's 2024, might be 2023 regional account, relocating that to another area within Pima that is located entirely within a census block group that does qualify for low moderate income. So there wouldn't be a need for a low moderate income special survey as we discussed back at the last meeting. The City of Nogales had one bid for its Camino del Sol Phase 2 water and wastewater improvements project. ADOH expects a signed contract soon. And after that, the city considered a scope of changes based on different funding sources that they might leverage. But we expect them to sign a contract with the contractor soon. 5 weeks of construction activity have been completed for the City of Benson's Lion Park Improvements Project. Labor standards interviews continue, and we expect that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Juan Guerra representing the city manager, Nogales.
Hi, Juan.
Hi. I just want to add something else to what was updated by Mr. William Osborne. We are ready to put in front of Mayor and Council the CDBG grant that we have for a few years now. So thank God we will put it in front of Mayor and Council for approval on May 7th. And we will continue moving forward with a reduced scope of work due to budget constraints.
Okay, great. Thanks for the update.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
So, labor standards interviews continue with the City of Benson's Lions Park Improvement Project.
We're getting some reverb and no silence.
Because the one at the bottom is.
We're not hearing anything on this one.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Okay, excellent. So labor standards interviews are continuing thanks to the invaluable help of Heather Glenn, who's rejoined us here at SIGO. Much appreciation from me and from the rest of our staff for her guidance and her assistance. We'll actually be going out to Lions Park today to continue to conduct labor standards interviews. Clifton, Graham County, Santa Cruz County, and Tombstone have held their initial CDBG public participation public hearings. They did this back in February 2025. Resolution of application public hearings are expected in the next couple of months. It sounds like with Graham County, as Dustin said, they're actually pretty much putting together a project to improve sidewalks and ADA accessibility for their fairgrounds, so that's going to be their next round. Colonia CDBG, we have continued progress in Duncan and Patagonia. Contractors are working on both sites, and the closeout of Bisbee's owner-occupied housing rehab grant is about to wrap up. The deadline for that project is May 30th, but we expect that we'll have everything done before then. KE&G has been working both on the Duncan and Patagonia Colonias projects, and we've been conducting labor standards interviews on a weekly basis, and the work is proceeding there very well. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. You can also reach out to me offline. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
This is Juan Guerra from Sierra Nogales. I do have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to know when is the next Colonias grant cycle. The last few years, I have not been aware of those grants available. I would like to be able,
2026 is the next round for Colonias. And
okay.
State special project application could be made this year. So that's something else possibly to consider. But that would be competitive statewide. The Colonias is only for communities that have designated Colonias.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Oh, I also would like to mention that the town of Patagonia has passed a resolution to transfer its 2024 regional account funding opportunity to the Santa Cruz County, And so what remains is for Santa Cruz County to pass a resolution of acceptance to receive over $440,000 that the town of Patagonia is looking to transfer over. And that's
Mr. Chair, we are planning to put something on the board in May. It's a resolution to accept the money. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on CDBG?
What's that one?
That was Jesus.
Okay. We will go and move on to item number E, Sego Economic Development District Report. Kevin Fowler.
Is that Kevin still there? Did we lose him? Kevin, are you still there?
May not know he's muted.
You want to skip that, or?
If we can bypass it, see if we can get him back on the phone. He was
Can you hear me now?
Okay, we hear you.
Okay. All right, let's start with Seth. Been working on the 26-2030 CES update, and we just received our socioeconomic and demographic information. So the draft report is ready to be submitted to Chris next week for his review and comment. Once we fine-tune that, we will have some internal discussions about scheduling some Teams meetings with our partners to go over the document. We will send copies of that document with the cover letter prior to the meeting for you to review and come up with some ideas and questions on that. And I've been in discussions with EDA about, you know, the timing of that, and once we have our first round of meetings, we will send a draft copy of that document to EDA for their review and comment. And once we've incorporated all that, we'll start doing some in-person meetings with our partners and community members. And we're also looking at some additional funding from EDA for a program to expand public information about the Fed and all the components of that, and give the public a greater idea of what we're doing and how they can participate. And so that's been a focus for the last 6 months, and we're getting pretty close on that. The next item is the BISB Hillcrest project that I know Steve is very familiar with. We have been working closely with Melissa and Steve to assist BISB in resolving their housing emergency by trying to bring in a developer to bid on that project and turn that into hopefully 36 affordable housing units. We have meetings on site, the 5th and 6th, with the developer and some contractors to take a look at the things that need to be done and try to come up with the numbers for that to make sure that the developer can perform and afford to do the project. And there's been a couple people in the past that have attempted that project, but they were trying to do it with federal funding, and that didn't work out too well, so this is all going to be private financed. And so we're working hard on that, BISB and SEGO, to try to see if we can get that project developed and ease the housing burden in BISB. The next thing on the agenda is EDA, and Chris and I have been talking about a new program for the SEGO region, which is a business incubator program, which will assist new and emerging businesses with various resources and strategies to grow, expand, initiate new business development in our region. I recently had a conversation with a business person who called specifically about that. They had a home-based business and wanted to be, you know, moving into a storefront, hiring employees, paying taxes, being more part of the community. And so this program will definitely assist people like that, help us grow our local economies, and hopefully expand our tax base. And so we're working on a proposal to submit to EDA on that for their review and hopefully approval. And we feel pretty confident about that. EDA has been a great partner, by the way. Jeff Hayes has been invaluable to us. The final component of the economic development picture is an idea that I spoke with Jeff about, which is a trade port. And they are willing to fund a feasibility study on that after we come up with some information for them to submit to help us with the feasibility study, which would determine where that would be located, all the components of that particular development, what entities may or may not want to participate, how we are going to look at the short and long-term funding, which Greater Arizona Development Authority has also indicated a willingness to assist with some assistance for feasibility and some long-term low-interest loans to make that development happy. And what, for those of you that aren't aware, what a trade port is something similar to what I was working on in Winslow. And it's a kind of a relay point. It requires a railroad spur and an interstate in a close proximity. And so freight comes in off the railroad, it's offloaded to a location that has warehouses, outdoor storage, fuel facilities, offices, things like that. And then truckers from east and west and north, and they come into the facility, they drop off freight, they pick up freight that was delivered, they deliver it to California and east to New Mexico, Texas, region south. And that provides for southern Arizona, our region away from Tucson, a place for even people like, you know, USPS, UPS, FedEx, to have a place to have freight delivered to pick up. And, you know, a lot of times they're coming from distances far away. And so this will reduce fuel costs for those kind of folks. And it'll allow us to expand our trade with Mexico, because that's the beauty of SIGO, is we have close proximity to Mexico. And, you know, there is freight coming in and out of Mexico. That would be another waylay point for that. And so the proposed project in Winslow is envisioned to create 5,000 jobs between our location in Winslow and New Mexico over a five-year period. And we don't have any employment numbers in any of those projections. We haven't had the funds for a feasibility study. But that could be a great component to our area to increase employment and tax revenue and maybe lower some of the transportation costs that we pay when we're bringing freight in from, you know, areas far away. So that's my update. If anybody has questions, I'm here to help.
Okay, any questions? Hey, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Moving on to item F, F and G, the AAA program updates and the legislative updates. Celeste?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 28 of your packet, you will find the AAA program updates. Under administration, at our last meeting, I shared with you that we were down to one out of our four in-house case managers. And we were lucky to find two candidates that have filled two of the three positions. So currently our only position available is our Benson case manager position. Under that, in case management, you have your graphs. And you will see that from March of last year to March of this year, we have 157 less clients that are being case managed. This is in part because during the COVID era, there was a leniency in the eligibility process for the program. So we have removed some clients that no longer qualify for the case management. However, if you notice that this year, from January to March, we have had an increase in clients that we are case managing. We were able to secure additional funding, and therefore we were able to open up our services to some of the clients. On page 29, there's a repeat, I apologize, of those slides there. On page 30, you will see a breakdown of our clients per county. I will have you look at the middle graph there, which is our wait list. We are very proud to report that from May of last year to March of this year, we have 146 less clients on our wait list. At the beginning of March, we were down to 13 clients, and as of yesterday, we only have 6 clients on wait list for active services. Again, due to the additional funding that we were able to secure, and some of you shared, we were able to remove clients off the wait list, put them onto active services, and that's how some of you were able to receive additional funding for your transportation. On page 31 of your packet, you will see that our information and referrals, information and breakdown, our phone inquiries have decreased from the last report. There was a decrease of 5.5%, and there was an increase on email of 6.4%. This is normal for this time of year. Normally we receive a high number of calls during the holiday season because people come and visit their parents, grandparents, and they call us and tell us, you know, I'm concerned. They can't walk very well, they can't cook for themselves. And then we see a decrease on the phone calls that we receive around this time. So this is normal. Page 32 of the packet, you will see our housing assistance program. We are pretty much on track for spending this money. From our last report, we did find an additional 6 clients, and we have 27 clients that are currently awaiting funding. They have been approved, and we are just waiting on the services to be rendered. At the bottom of the packet of that page there, you will see that for our long-term care ombudsman, the month of June, we celebrate World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Our team will be going to Phoenix. Two of our coordinators will be presenting at the conference. And in addition to that, we like to spread the awareness to the entire month. Therefore, on page 33 of your packet, you will find the breakout of the events that we will be doing throughout our counties. We will be providing education to our seniors on elder abuse awareness, and we will be spending time with them, giving them information. We have vendors coming in, so that will be, if you're able to join us on any of those, please do so. One thing that we were able to confirm yesterday, we did have our Attorney General scheduled for the City of Douglas on April 22nd. Unfortunately, she was not feeling well and had to cancel. So we will be bringing her on June 10th along with the World Elder Abuse Awareness Day event. So we will be sending that out to everybody and on our social media as soon as we receive the graphics from the Attorney General's office. For the health insurance program and senior Medicare patrol, we spoke a lot last year about the partnerships with our local health centers, with our hospitals, and we have now seen it pay off. From last year at this time, we did have an increase of 17% in healthcare provider referrals to our program. And in correlation with that, there has been a 25% increase in the processed applications for low-income subsidies in our region. At this time, our SHIP program is working at its highest that it has ever for Segal history. In addition to that, in May, we do celebrate Older Americans Month, and we will be at the sites of Bisbee, Santa Cruz County Council on Aging, Safford Senior Center, and Duncan Senior Center. And you will see the events that are there. We will be celebrating our seniors and having raffles and different events, different activities for them at those. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have on this memo at this time. Okay, if no questions, I will move on to page 24 of our legislative update. There are many changes happening every single day, so I just have the ones that are relevant here. On March 14th, the Senate did pass another six-month continuing resolution, which included the Older Americans Act. Currently, the Older Americans Act is not reauthorized. It was due for reauthorization last September. Senator Bernie Sanders did bring that to the Senate in July of last year. However, unfortunately, it did not pass the House at the time of their recess in December. So currently, we are going to be running our programs at 2024 funding levels, according to the continuing resolution that was approved. In addition to the continuing resolution, Secretary Kennedy did announce on March 27 that there is a mass reorganization in the Department of Human Health Services. That is where the ACL, which is Administration for Community Living, used to live. And when I say used to live, it's because it's been dismantled. Therefore, our Older Americans Act funding will be split up, or they're trying to split it up amongst two different departments.